I tell you what, I'm excited today about so many things. But Sandy, you know I'm excited about you. We first met in 92 or 93. So we have one of the oldest relationships here in town. And she's a dear friend, and she's spoken life into me so many times. Would you make her feel welcome? Dr. Sandy Powell.
I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be around familiar faces. Some of you I haven't seen in a while. Some people I haven't seen in 10 years. One lady I hadn't seen in 25 years. Amy, has it been 25? Oh, 19. That's pretty good. Time is of the essence. And it's never wasted if it's directed by God. I want to thank Jerry for inviting me to be here today. And Mark Lancaster, it was so wonderful to walk into a church that we've got to spend time in and loved. I was looking for my dad's rolling around desk chair to find it. We left some furniture here. The Lord said, and I was thinking, is that my rug? Well, oh, thank you. Oh, the chair is still here. That was my dad's when he was a producer in the music industry, and that was the chair he worked out of at the soundboard. I started to say the sanctuary board, but the soundboard. And the Lord had us make a deposit here, and he also had us take away love and friendships and relationships, and it's just a very special place in my heart. And I was thankful for, I felt it was right on track when you began with the Unite and the changing of the name and the new, the old begin to change, the landscape began to change in so many ways. This was prophesied for years to be an apostolic hub. And I see that taking place now, an apostolic hub coming into existence. And the living proof of it is you. Amen. So thank you to Jerry for bringing these together along with our brother, James Gall. And I can't think of you and James without thinking of Mickey Robinson. And so often the Lord would use him in our midst years ago as we were all becoming familiar with this territory in the Lord. Thank you to Karen and Fred Johnson that we get to share our facility with. And they are, this is the way that I have always heard it in my spirit. They're God's first choice. They're a first choice. You're a first choice. And I've asked the Lord through the years, how is that? Why is that, Lord? How could that be? And he would say, the Israel peace that they carry. You know, that's our first fruits. That's the Lord's heart. That's the first place. And the rest of us get to be engrafted in, but you're carrying something special, a torch for the Lord that's special. And you have not seen the fulfillment of the fruit that will come forth due to your preparing the people for what will come as we approach the later days, as we go deeper into the end times. There's more that you'll bring forth and train the people up in. So I applaud your efforts and all that you sacrifice to do for him. Thank you to, I think I mentioned James Gall. I know he can't be here because of the pain. And we just bless him. And we remind the Lord in behalf of James that his healing was purchased by the blood of the Lamb. His healing was purchased by the stripes that Jesus Christ bore on the cross. And then he defeated the cross, got up, rose again from the dead. And we call forth life and new beginnings For James, I thank you, Lord, that he has a sound mind, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-control when he desires it. We thank you, Lord, for using him to create a pathway in this city, for laughter to come forth and for a group of peculiar people, the prophets of God, to make their voices heard. We thank you, Lord, that he prepared the way along with other forerunners of the faith that have come before and have earmarked the journey that we now travel. Thank you, Lord, for the forerunners in this room. Some of you are in the midst of preparing the way right now and making changes. And I hear the Lord say, go for it. Go for him. Go for his purposes through your ministries, through your lives. Go for it. And I would be amiss if I would not cheerlead us on and not mention, of all people, my dearly beloved, recently passed away mother. My mother offered up the prayer of Hannah from 1 Samuel many years ago so that I would be born after she had lost a child previous to me. So she lifted up Hannah's prayer, and I did not know until I was in my 30s that she had dedicated my life to the Lord. And so a lot of my life I spent trying to explain to God that there had been a terrible mistake and I was supposed to be singing Great Balls of Fire in country music instead of speaking to people and God's purposes for their lives. So I like to give tribute to my mother and also for my grandparents. When my mother conceived me and I was born healthy, not knowing that I had been dedicated to the Lord until, like I said, many years later, I was sent to be raised by my grandparents during my mother's next pregnancy with my younger sister. And it was through those early years of being, the baby years of being raised by them when I was 2, 3, and 4 years old, and they didn't want to give me back up to go back to be with my parents, and there became a family feud. But it was there that I learned the picture of love was an older generation for me. That's how my life was affected. And so I went on. And I married a much older man in their generation because that was the picture of love that I grew up respecting and learning from, being connected to. But anyway, as I grew up, there were a lot of health issues. At age 8, the doctors came in while I laid on an operating table and told my parents that I would get ready. I was getting, my body was shutting down and preparing from internal bleeding to pass away. And they wanted them to call the relatives and everyone to come in to say their goodbyes. Again, I was 8 years old, but I lived. And then there were the teen years, where I experienced a head-on car collision. And then there was a near collision with an airplane. And then there was a near collision with a train. And then there was a collision with, in mid-air, an airplane. I survived a mid-airplane collision where people died. But I was one that got up and walked away after an emergency landing. And so the Lord began to teach me about emergency landings as we're vehicles for Jesus Christ and the gospel that he came to share and put on us to then take into the spheres of influence that he would introduce us to. I then realized that when we become His, fully dedicated, and we have these emergency landings, that we will usually wind up someplace different than the original destination we started out in. And God does everything He can to prepare you along the way so that you will not be blindsided. And it is one of the reasons why the prophetic ministry is so needed in the body of Christ. And I believe that through the last generations, the prophetic has been put on a back burner until occasionally, I love how the word says that until the word of the Lord was silent in the land, until He raised up Samuel for the word of the Lord to come forth again, to be made alive and relevant for that season, that for a while, the body of Christ, the church, had been without the preparation of the prophets. And then Samuel came. And we know that God has been speaking through His prophets since the beginning. The word tells us in Hebrews 1, since the beginning, He's been speaking through His servants, the prophets. But there have been down times through the pages of history. But then a man, another prophet came, the Son of God, who carried the Spirit of God as the Son of God. And He walked for a while among men in John 1:14. He walked in the flesh. And then His flesh went to the cross, died, rose again, so that we could have eternal life. And so I thank the Lord for more of Him as I went to places that I didn't ever dream I would wind up in for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord for the angels, the mighty ones who do His bidding and give us encounters that remind us He's always with us. I remember when the Lord first called me into ministry for a period of 7 days, I had an angelic encounter. In fact, I was just thinking of this the other day. Sherry Folk, ordained through Powerhouse Ministries, she transcribed all the conversations I had with that angel years ago. I need to get those back out and look at them. And through those early years of transitioning from country music, hearing the voice of God, being told one night by the Lord at a country music concert, I was playing the State Fair of California, and the Lord said to me, I want you to lead the show promoter to Jesus Christ. And I said, what? No, I don't know how to do that. And I didn't lead him to Jesus. And 24 hours later, he was dead from a massive heart attack. So I went to the Lord and I said, whatever you tell me to do the next time, I promise I'll do it. And do you think I did it? No, I didn't do it. The next time he spoke and told me what he needed for me to do, I didn't do it either. That person was in a serious car crash within 48 hours and crippled for the rest of their life. I have learned the hard way to respond correctly when He speaks, even if it means man not understanding. My only checkpoint is to make sure that I'm in line with the Word of God. And that should be the prophetic community's checkpoint always. I thank the Lord that during those years of leaving country music, transitioning into preaching and praising, the doctors determined that my vocal cords were hemorrhaging. They were consistently leaking blood. And on July 4th of 2006, I went to someone's home to record a recording project. And I didn't know how to tell the person that I could only sing for about 15 minutes before my voice would give out because of the constant, consistent, low-level bleeding. And I never got to tell the person that because the Lord healed me. And I sang 6 hours straight. Worshiping the Lord. Miracles, signs, incredible, and testimonies, encounters, but nothing compares to hearing His voice. His voice became my voice. And His voice is what ultimately brings me to you today and into the body of Christ. In the mid-90s, as I had one foot in country music and one in the church, someone invited me to come and hear what was called a prophetic conference. Never heard of any such thing. I witnessed 2 very prophetic, gifted, apostolic, evangelistic, geared teachers, prophets get up and they begin to address an audience of hundreds of people. And then they begin to prophesy over probably 3 or 4, maybe 6 of the people present in the audience before they were finished. And everyone was oohing and awing. Isn't this remarkable? Isn't this incredible? And something rose up in me that said, why isn't everybody doing this? God desires that all would prophesy. God desires that all would encourage. God desires that all would comfort and exhort. God desires that we would take a peek into the heavens in behalf of His heart. His heart, not our thoughts. His heart for a person's life, that we might help them in their way, just as He helped us in our way when we heard His voice. Right there at that moment, I knew that my life was changed. I knew I was called. I didn't feel qualified. Some days I'm still not sure I'm completely qualified for the task at hand, but I knew I was called, and I became a prisoner of Jesus Christ, journeying down an unseen road with an unseen guide to go somewhere I'd never been and experience something I'd never had, I'd never known. When we're willing to go beyond our understanding and allow Christ to lead the way, our lives change. It can't be helped. And we're changed. This is what the Word says. We're changed into a different person. We get changed. You know how often throughout life we want to change somebody else, the way they think, what they're saying, what they're doing? But we have the opportunity to be conformed to His character, to be like-minded in the way He thinks. Deuteronomy 28:2 says, blessings will come and overtake those who hear and respond to God. Amen. Blessings will come, they'll overtake you. And it doesn't limit that to any time or any particular season. It says blessings will come, blessings will overtake you. And all you gotta do are 2 things. Hear, listen, and respond. Be obedient. Number 1, know Him. Number 2, wait on Him. Number 3, pursue Him. Number 4, know His word and choose rightly. 1, know Him. 2, wait upon Him. 3, pursue Him. 4, know His word and choose rightly. Nothing is allowed to prosper against us without our consent. Shut open doors and windows. Something you've rightly settled in your past becomes your promotion. Woo! Something you've rightly settled in your past becomes your promotion. Engage in today. Woo! For a bunch of prophets, that can be hard to engage in right now, because we're full of vision. We're full of what's coming. We already see the tree. It's been planted. The fruit's grown. It's dropping on the ground. It's so luscious and ripe. We've already got the laborers set aside to come and pick up the fruit and put it in the baskets and go take it to the poor and needy. Stay engaged in today. Stay alert. Be on your guard. Love. Forgive. Breathe in vision. Victories become greater than burdens. Wisdom will override deception. And through faith, we're prepared for what's coming. Amen. My life was made sweeter a year and a half. After a year and a half of mourning my deceased husband of 34 years, a mantle was passed down and a new generation of life and love happened for me by the very man my husband employed to help us run Powerhouse Ministries. Just as my life was affected, and my husband's life was affected, and he loved you, you'll be affected by a quickly rising voice for the Lord. The pastor of Powerhouse Church, a man after God's own heart, my husband of only 10 weeks, worship leader and studio producer, Reverend Shane Anthony.
Smile on my face is like a mile wide as she's saying that. You know, you said something. You said victories become greater than burdens. That was such a good word. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. All right, turn with me to Daniel chapter 9. I just have a quick word the Lord has given me to encourage you today. And the message today is how to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Wow, what a blessed generation we are. Do you perceive it? Do you feel it? How blessed we are. Mark, we've been chosen. Sherry, we've been chosen. We've been chosen to be the generation to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Let's look at Daniel, a prophet of his time. Chapter 9, verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. He said, I understood by the books. He perceived in his time. He understood the times. It is for us to understand the times. If he was able to perceive, it's now time for a change for the people of God. You have a prophet, Daniel, who listens to the prophets and the words of the prophets and perceives it's time for change now. Then we are able to perceive it's time for the coming of the Lord. That I am able to say to you, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. It's a passion that drives my life. The Lord is coming. But I want to look at Daniel. He says here, in verse 3, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting. And I believe that this right here, this is where the revelation comes to him. An unbelievable prophecy, a revelation comes to him for the people of God. After prayer and setting his face to heaven, we have to be houses of prayer. We have to be houses of prayer. You know, let me just come up here and say it. I just want to, you know, it's so easy to say. It's so easy to say. But those who do it, the light of God shows on them. You can pretend. You can pretend to be a Christian. You can go through the paces. You can believe you're on fire. But when you become a house of prayer, it becomes real. It's undeniable. It's not hideable. The glory of the Lord will be seen on you. You'll know what to do. You'll know what to do. I want to tell you something that I've been doing lately. I want to encourage you to do this. And I'm not trying to brag on myself. I just want to tell you something that has radically changed my life. But I'm being very serious, very real. We have to be houses of prayer. And listen, I as a minister have to take my own words very serious. It's because it's so easy. Well, everybody who's ever been in ministry, at one point in time, they were on fire. At one point in time, they dug into the word. I have seasons of my life where I would spend hours a day reading the word or hours a day in prayer. Anybody who's in ministry has been there. And a lot of people in ministry, they fall away. They lose their step after a little while. Keith Green had a song where he sang about, I wish someone would have told me that after a little while, the fire can die down and you have to stir it up. But everybody who's in ministry has been there, and it's easy to just, you don't even realize it happens. You don't even realize it where you've become so professional, you've become so knowledgeable of the word. All of us who have studied the word for years, I've read the whole Bible front and back, practically forward and backwards. Some scriptures I've read hundreds of times, maybe 1,000 times. I know the word really well. I've read and studied and studied my entire life. And I could fall away from God, and I could not be close to him. I could not be on fire with him. And I could stand up here, and I could preach where you believe, man, this guy is on fire for the Lord. And I could make you believe it. I could fake it and make it. But when the real thing's on you, when the real fire is on you, I don't want to do it any other way. I don't want it. I don't want this life any other way but the real thing, to stay on fire. So we have to check ourselves. Ministers, leaders, we have to check ourselves and make sure we're in the fire of the Lord. And I go through different seasons of my life where the Lord, he pulls. He says, if you draw close to me, I will draw close to you. And so different times, in different ways, I feel drawn to the Lord. And lately, the thing with me has been prayer in tongues. I really, really believe a lot. I believe in the power of praying in tongues. But how many Christians really take the time to do it every day? And so I've set aside a time for myself. I make sure at least minimum 5 to 10 minutes a day, I just solid praying in tongues. You know, and it's so easy. It does sound like nothing. Oh, we have 5 minutes a day. And that's nothing. But it's really something if you're making an effort to draw close to the Lord. Because how many Christians are really doing this? The Apostle Paul said, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than all of you. Of my life has been to encourage the body of Christ to pray in tongues, because when I added this to my life, just 5 minutes a day, 5 to 10 minutes a day, every day, sometimes more, just as the Lord leads, not any burden, not any pressure, but the fire of God, the anointing of God just increased on my life. It makes such a difference. Listen, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to try this, to make a real commitment and effort to pray in the Spirit every day. It's life changing. Okay, so we have to be houses of prayer. But let me just stick with the theme real quick here. How to prepare for the coming of the Lord. I'm going to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And so I'm in the New King James Version. The English Standard Version says, there's a voice crying, colon, in the wilderness, prepare for the coming of the Lord. The New American Standard says, there's a voice crying, prepare in the wilderness a way for the Lord. And the Amplified says it also. It's a preparation in the wilderness because we have to do this. This is barren place. We have, our flesh, us, has to get to a barren place. We have to die. Every selfish desire on the inside of us, every selfish way, this is how you prepare for the coming of the Lord. It's a yielding to Jesus. And it's so easy to say, but doing it's another thing. Yielding to Jesus is how we prepare. That's the one thing that you have to do. You have to yield to Jesus. If you get that part right, everything else will be right. If you get it right, everything else will be right. Because it's easy to do what you believe the Lord wants you to do when it's also what your flesh wants to do. It's so easy. But then there is times, there absolutely will be times in your life when God is asking you to do something different than what your flesh thinks is the best way to do. And that difference between that and that, that's the difference. That's the level of your success right there. So if you say, you believe, oh, the Lord wants me to buy this building because I need to do this ministry. And maybe you're right. Maybe God does want you to buy this building. But maybe the timing is off. Or maybe the price is off. You know, how much that we deal with buildings and ministry and different ministries that we work with and equipment as I own a studio and even just the down to the tiny details of making deals on pieces of equipment. The Lord wants you to offer such and such of amount of a price for a vehicle, for a building, for a car, for a piece of equipment. Are you being obedient to the Holy Spirit? But Lord, I know if I give this price, I'll get it. And that's what I want to do. I want to make it happen. We got to try to stop making it happen, but we have to yield to Jesus. And so I cover myself with this prayer. Like, woo, you just don't want it if it's not God. Cover yourself with the prayer that, Lord, this is what I believe is best. But if it's not you, don't let it happen. Because if we're not yield to Jesus, we'll try to make it happen. I'm gonna jump to Isaiah 43. I want to read a scripture. Then I'll come back to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 43, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea. Clearly, it's a reference here to deliverance from Egypt through the Red Sea, a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. Verse 18. Whew. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. So now it's a prophetic word for deliverance from Babylon. He says, I am the God who delivered you out of Egypt, but now don't look at the former things because you can't live on the miracles of yesterday. You can't live on the testimonies of yesterday. Oh yeah, you have this testimony. And God did this. And 2 years later, you're still saying, God did this. Wow, wasn't awesome. 5 years later, 10 years later, you're still saying, God did this. And he wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants to give you a new deliverance, a new testimony. There's a fresh testimony for you. Look what God says. He says, do not remember the former things. Verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. This is the word for you. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness. There's that barren place. And rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me. The jackals, the ostriches. These are animals of dry places. Desert animals. Because I give waters in the wilderness. Rivers in the desert. I give drink to my people. This people I have formed for myself. You. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. The only way that we can declare the praise of the Lord is if we die to ourselves, our selfish ambitions, our way, completely yielding to Jesus. So I'm going to go back to Isaiah chapter 40. Just three verses here. I'm going to wrap it up with three verses. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 4. This is our part. Verse 4 is our part. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You have to go to that wilderness place. That's our part. You have to be barren. You have to die to yourself. Then God does his part. Verse 4 is God's part. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. So God says, you do your part, you yield to me. You go out to the wilderness. You think every single time there's a deliverance with God's people, it's a wilderness experience. The children of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness to get to the promised land. Out of Babylon through the wilderness to get back to the promised land. Preceding the coming of Jesus, John the Baptist saying, make a way in the wilderness. Die to yourself. That's how you prepare for what's to come. You do that part and God says, I'll do my part. I'll level things out. Every place that's a valley, every place that you're down low, every place that you don't think enough of yourself, every place where you've been beaten down, every place where you're weak, I'm going to make it strong. I'm going to lift you up. And God says, every place that's high and lofty and conceited, I'm going to bring it down. Over and over and over again in scripture, God says, I will level you. Isaiah 26, 7, he makes level the way of the righteous. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Over and over and over in scripture, God says, I'm going to make it level for you. I'm going to balance you. Woo. And then, first, Isaiah preparing for the coming of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, our part. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 4, God's part. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5, the outcome. It's the outcome. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Because you yielded to Jesus. It's, you know what? It's so easy when we surrender to him. It actually becomes so easy when we surrender to him. And through my death process, life comes forth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it. I'm going to pull up one more scripture. One more scripture. This is my last scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. through our death process, a life comes forth. The Apostle Paul talked about this. All my pages are sticking together. They're all like bended and folded. I've used this Bible a lot. Okay. Woo. There we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Or some translations say we have this treasure in jars of clay. So God is saying, in your body of weakness, every place where you're hurting, every place where you feel weak, look at this. That the excellence of the power may be of God, that it may be seen that the power is God, that God gets the glory. So if in my place of weakness or my weakness in my flesh, the anointing of God causes somebody's life to be transformed, then God gets the glory. This is amazing. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. So it's not too much. God will make sure that it's not too much. He said, we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. I'm just going to say this one more time from up here. Death is working in us, but life in you. So every place where you're persecuted for the gospel, every place where you suffer for serving the Lord, there should be fruit that comes forth. If death is working, if persecution is happening, fruit should be coming forth. Can we all stand up? Let's just stand up for a minute. Well, we just want to thank the Lord right now for his mantle on our life, for his anointing on our life. That he has called us, that he's chosen you, that he's made you a king and a priest unto God. Woo! We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Woo! Let's just say this. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. He said to be your helper forever. You know, some people say, oh, well, yeah, but when Jesus comes, then the Holy Spirit will be taken away because we don't need the Holy Spirit anymore. The Holy Spirit will be with us forever. You need the Holy Spirit when Jesus comes because he's called you to operate in power. It's an empowerment to serve the Lord, to be kings and priests, to serve him in political matters, but to serve him also with things that are divine in the sanctuary, divine things. God has anointed you to serve him in the divine. He's anointed you to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I want you to believe for. Woo, just lift up your hands right now. I'm speaking this over you. He's anointed you to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. There's an anointing upon you as a priest to serve in the things that are divine. There is an anointing on you to transform lives. And even as Sandy said, no matter what the persecution, no matter what the battle, no matter what the burden, the victory that's coming is greater and the miracles that are coming is greater. And I call forth over you that fresh new thing that God says he will do. Fresh miracles, fresh testimony that you can take it. Woo! And then your testimony. God, give them their testimony. Right now, every place, Lord, where they're beaten down, raise it up. Every place where they've been put down, raise them up. Every place where they felt or thought that they couldn't do it or they can't remember it, Lord, heal their memory. Lord, heal their eyesight. There's an analogy going on here, but God's going to do it in the physical and he's going to do it in the spiritual. Listen, woo, it's the word of the Lord. It's in my spirit. Lord, heal their memory. I'm praying for your brains. God, heal our memory. Heal our brain. Help us to remember things more. Help us to pull it up quicker. Lord, let the Holy Spirit be a nudge inside of our brain. God, help us remember scriptures, Lord. Help us remember dates. Help us remember names. Help us remember faces. Help us not to forget times. Lord, bless the clock. Bless the time on our behalf. God, bless the clock. Bless the time in our days. Bless the time throughout the week. And as we honor your Sabbath, Lord, and it's so hard to do. I mean, if you're a leader in ministry, you know, because there's so much to do. We're running, and we just have to make ourselves stop and rest. But if you do it, if you'll make yourself honor the Sabbath, and this song that I just wrote that we sung up here, it was about the very first Sabbath that ever happened. God took a Sabbath. He looked down over creation, and he saw that it was good, and he still had a lot of work to do. But even God didn't say, I have so many important things to do. He rested. Listen, we have to be these things. We have to be houses of rest with the Lord, and we have to be houses of prayer. If you're not taking the time to rest, you can't fully run, and God's blessing can't be on you to make a double or a triple increase of the blessing of your time like he promises in the Word. If you don't honor the Sabbath, honor the Sabbath and become a house of prayer. Just yielding to Jesus everything in your life, everything that comes up, yielding it up to him. And then when you do that, when you bring it down to the altar, just like Hannah did, and Sandy was talking about Hannah, and she came and she lifted up her petition to the Lord, and she was vexed in her spirit and she had anxiety, and Eli saw, he said, "Your woman, you're drunk, put that wine away from you." She said, "No, I'm vexed in my spirit. I'm vexed in my spirit, and I'm asking the Lord for a child." And he said, "Let it be unto you. Let you have that prayer request that you've lifted up to the Lord. Let it be unto you." And she walked away, and her face was no longer sad. She no longer had the worry. She no longer had the fear. And if Hannah could do that before the Holy Spirit was poured out, who do we think we are? That we can lift up a prayer to God and then still walk around full of worry, still walk around full of anxiety, as if he's not a God that listens or not a God that answers prayer. And Hannah received the answer to the prayer. Hannah received the answer to the prayer. So your prayers are heard. When we come to the altar, like she did, they made the trek to Jerusalem. They put the sacrifice on the altar. There was a priest that mediated in her behalf. We have all those things. You have an altar. With those that serve at the tent have no right to serve at. You have an altar. It's the cross. We come to the cross. We have the altar. We have the sacrifice. It's the blood of Christ. We have the priest, Jesus, our high priest. We have everything we need to lift up a petition or a prayer request. I want you to lift up your petition to the Lord right now. Just lift up your petition to the Lord. Everything is there to lift up a petition to the Lord and be heard. In your heart right now, in your heart right now, lift up your petition, and then I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. Lift up your petition right now in your heart. Okay, now listen to me. No worry. You walk out the door here today, and whatever you've been carrying, a burden, it's just shake it off of you. It has to fall off of you right now. And we're people that walk by faith. And everything that God is in your life, everything that God is in your life, it's going to come out. I'm saying this over you prophetically. It's going to come out God's way. It's going to come out God's way. Lord, we yield our flesh to you. We want it God's way. It will come out God's way. Strive this week to do something new, for God to do something new, to press into him, to get down on your knees, to turn on some worship music. Any way God shows you to do it, strive to let go of the anxiety and the worship, let go of the anxiety and the worry, and rest and worship and pray. And God is going to do this thing in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Wow. What a good word. What a powerful word. And now we know why they call it Powerhouse Ministries, right? Because, I mean, packed full today. I want you guys to sit just for a moment. We'll get you out as quick as I can. But I'd like for Pastor Shane and Sandy to come up, and we want to pray over and bless you, speak a word. I know that Peggy has something. I know that Karen does. And if you bless them as we bless, we want to see multiplication in every ministry in this city. Now, right after we pray and release you to go, would you stay just for 2 more minutes? We're doing something different, and I'll show you something on the screen in just a couple minutes when we're done. It won't take long, and then you can go. But I want our folks that have a word, come on up. Mark, would you come here, right here at the beginning, and stand here, right in front. Yeah, right in front of the podium. So everyone, extend your hand. This is something we love to do every time we get together. We want to bless those who come in the name of the Lord. And we've been very blessed to be able to bless people who are just moving into the city for the first time. And I've had people say, "I've never had that before when I come into a city." But this is a house of blessing, right? And you are a house that blesses. So, Father, I thank you for what you're doing at Powerhouse Ministries. I thank you for Pastor Shane. I thank you so much for his faithfulness. Oh my God, I've watched it over the years. Steadfast. And I want to bless that. And Lord, as I've watched this one, she's spoken such life into me and so many, and who knows how many hundreds have been trained to hear from God and to speak prophetically because of this minister. And I bless her because I have, even at the beginning, broke the power of misogyny off of her so that she could flourish in this city and understand that she's called to be all that she is. And so again, we bless that. Dr. James Gall, myself, and others here really honor this precious servant of God. And we thank you so much for what you're doing through them and in the days ahead.
Amen. Yes, Lord. As you guys were up there singing, I listened to words because words are part of who I am. It's what we all should do. And the Lord, first of all, reminded me that your song, of course, as you know this, is the prophetic song of the Lord, the call of the bride. I heard it as I was listening. You praise and you adore him out of the word, which is powerful. You know, we got out of our box this morning of learned songs and got to step into the rhythm and the song and the sound of the Lord. Amen. So that's what the first thing I felt like, you know, and you know that, so that's not so much prophecy as maybe a word of knowledge. But as you were singing, the Lord grabbed me when I heard the song or the singing of the doves, of the turtle doves. And he reminded me of Song of Solomon 2:12. Yes. And out of Song of Solomon 2:11 and 12 is what I want to speak over you guys today. Not just the two of you, your representation of the bride of Christ, but your whole ministry and where I was seeing God leading you guys in the season ahead, in the days ahead. So I'm just going to read the scripture and then just speak out of it and pray out of it. Song of Solomon 2:11 says, "For behold," we could just stop there, "behold, the winter has passed." Amen. The winter has passed for both of you. It's been a long winter, but now the Lord says it's passed. The rain is over. The sun is coming out now. The shining of the sun is here. It's here over what God is calling you to do. The sun is over you. The flowers appear on the earth once again. Doesn't that brighten your day when you can look out and see the beautiful flowers in the meadow? The time of singing has come. And in one translation that says the singing of the birds has come. But this is the part I want to speak. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in your land, which represents our land here in Nashville and in this area. And I just saw that the Lord is calling you now out. You've been hidden in that place of hiding for seasons and seasons. And that was good. That's where he's called you. That's where he's kept you. That's where he's put you. You're called not to minister to everybody. You're called to minister to the chosen ones that he is bringing into your path. But I see you coming out now into the land of flourishing. And the turtle dove, the beautiful thing about the turtle dove, it's not like any other dove. Most doves are white, but this one is like a gray color, and its head can go, looks like it can go in like the turtle, a place of hiding. So there are times and seasons where you're hidden, but there's times and seasons where God's going to bring you out, because the turtle dove represents love, and you carry the song and the sound of heaven. The love of Jesus that abides on the inside of you is being released out now into the harvest field. You're called out to the harvest, to the broken, the hurting, the outcast. You have a sound that is drawing them. The sound of love. The sound of love is over you. And so I bless you with this word today. And I say, God, thank you for what you're doing with Powerhouse Ministries. And God, I see you bringing them out, Lord, for those that are broken, those that are hurting, those that are outcast, those that nobody else wants to have anything to do with. You are the ones that are representing love. And I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh!
Okay. Shoo. I got this word for you all yesterday, and she said the word, he said it on the stage. It's out of 2 Samuel 4:4. It said, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. Okay, so you... He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. So you know that that was Jonathan's son. He's royalty. But this has a lot of layers, but I'll just, this is for the two of you. This is a brand new, fresh anointing. That is that only the two of you together could actually have accomplished it. It took the two of you becoming one. Mephibosheth means exterminator of idols and the dispeller of shame, the shame from the idolatry in our life. So he was lame in his feet. He got dropped early. But the word feet in Hebrew, this is what I want to focus on for the two of you. One of the definitions, and there are many for feet, but it means timing. He got dropped in the time, in his timing. And it also means possession. And I had a vision of you two becoming a time release capsule, like Sudafed or something, you know, where it has to be time released. And when you all speak, God said, what he's going to do, where people have been lame, they've been deficient in timing in their life and destiny. As you all speak, they're getting restored in timing. And it was because of idolatry, even wrong teaching, whatever it was, where they were crippled. And he said, I'm bringing them to you. She said this. She said the word time, the time of the turtle dove. Shane said it on the stage, and this is your third confirmation, because the feet represent time. And so you're going to help people get back what was really theirs in their destiny. And then Mephibosheth, because of David, he actually got called back to the table. He got put back exactly where he should have been, in royalty at the table. And he said, God, through David, said he would stay there continually. Once you all release that, I don't know if you don't even have to be together because you're one. But he may say it from the stage, or you give a prophetic word. Do you receive this? You're getting people set back in their clock. And it's an anointing. You can't work it up. It's not like, hey, let's get together and start, you know, be the pharmacist. No, it's your anointing is, and it's going to be time release so that for the rest of their life, they're in the right timing. So it's an anointing. So can I pray for you? Lord, Jerry, would you help me? And Phil and everybody else. Father, we release this. It's a real special end time anointing that people come in alignment with their timing. And it's so serious because people have been lame in their feet. They're deficient in timing and they're not even fulfilling their destiny. You're going to carry something that not many people on the earth have. So guard this. It's part of this new anointing that could only come if you two got married. So I bless you. We love you. I've known you 23 years, and you're a blessing to us. We love you. Amen.
That's so good. You receive that?
Yes. So good. Yeah, we just want to pray over you guys and just bless you. Yeah. Father God, Lord, we just thank you for the gift that Reverend Shane and Dr. Sandy are to this city,
yes,
and in
Lord.
Our lives.
Thank you, Father.
God, we just thank you for the passion. Wow. And the fire starters that they are. Wow. Just the joy that you all carry together. Yeah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And God, just thank you, Lord, for who they are their availability and their sensitivity to the moving and prompting of your spirit. God, thank you for the deposits that were made today.
Come on.
We just honor you guys and your availability and your openness to just pour out into this place today. God, we receive what was imparted to us today. Lord, we just pray, because your word says that he refreshes others will themselves be refreshed.
Yes.
Refresh them with a double portion.
Amen.
In this time, in this season. And God, just continue to open up the doors that you want them to walk through. And Father, continue to align them with the people that you are bringing in their path. Lord, we just honor and bless them in Jesus' name.